Romans 1:15. Let's begin, as we normally do, with a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you this evening, thanking you that we have a place to come to hear your word, thanking you about what it has to say about the person and work of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We just want to thank you, Father, also, that we have the Helper, God the Holy Spirit, who makes all of these things in your word come to life and meaningful and strengthens us when we need it so that we can continue to go forward, Father, persevering, making progress in that intimacy that we have with you and your Son. We also pray this evening, Father, for the members of the congregation, the saints, Father, their struggles, their difficulties. We pray, Father, for your intervention in their lives in every way that is needed and that we know that you have planned, but we also know that we ought to come before you and ask on their behalf. And so we do that too as we begin this evening. Asking it all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, on his merits we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month, so we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper. And we have a prayer meeting tonight because it is Wednesday at 8:15 right after service. All right, we're in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 15. We've read through the first section of the book of Romans a few times, and now we are looking at a practical application of this first section, which is the introduction. And the theme of the letter is right here, and it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we are now seeking what this section and what the book of Romans generally can offer us in the way of building us up, you know, now as individuals with this good news about Jesus Christ, this good news called the gospel. And we're reading it with the hope that what it says can show up in our hearts and in our lives on a day-by-day basis. So we begin again tonight in Romans 1:15. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. So we've been looking at this word gospel. Title of tonight's message is More on Becoming a Good News Person. Because the gospel means announcing good news. We saw that on Sunday. It means announcing good news. And good news, what is it? Well, if it's news, of course it's new things, as we saw. It's something that somebody didn't know or realize before. Now that somebody can be you. Most wonderfully, you know, we're always, hopefully, when we go to God's word, receiving something in it about Jesus Christ and about us that we didn't really realize before. Even if we've heard it before, something happens with particular passages or principles in the word of God where the Holy Spirit comes on the scene and really makes it come to life for us in a different way. And it's good news. Or it could also be something that you've said to somebody else, or something that they've realized about Jesus Christ, about being a Christian through you, that they didn't know before. There's so much, you know, ignorance, really. There's so many things that people that are in our lives every day simply don't know about Jesus Christ. And if they did, their life would be more hopeful. And so that's the other part of it. It's good news. It's positive. It's hopeful. You know, thinking about good news in the natural realm again, you know, when the baby is, when somebody's pregnant, it's good news. Why? Because it's something people didn't know about before. It's new. And it's something that makes people hopeful about the future. And that's the same thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's an announcement about something new that gives people hope for a brighter future. An announcement about something new, at least to them, that gives people hope for a brighter future. It's good news. Now, when we talk about the book of Romans, the good news comes from God. He's the one who is announcing through the letter of Romans good news to us and to others. It comes from God, and of course, it's about something, and we saw that at the very beginning of the letter. It's about a person of Jesus Christ. Now, but it's all the things that are in the book of Romans that are a result of who Jesus Christ is and what he's done, beginning with his salvation work on the cross, his death and his resurrection, and then continuing, and all the different things that, as we're gonna go through to see, all the other things that Jesus Christ through his death and resurrection has accomplished for us in his finished work. So hearing this good news and believing it gives people hope. Hearing the good news and believing it gives people hope of many different kinds. And it's a hope when the Word of God and God the Holy Spirit get down into your heart with good news that endures, it's a lasting hope. And ultimately, it's a hope that nobody can ever take away from us. Oh, and don't get me wrong, people will try. And Satan will try, and our flesh will try, and we'll be sorely tested at times. But the good news remains because it has been planted there by God, and that we have Jesus Christ inside us, and nobody can ever take that away. We have eternal life, and nobody can ever take that away. So, but in our everyday life, we need to keep hearing about it. Every one of us needs to keep on hearing the good news. And I think that's a change for a lot of people, because a lot of people think of the gospel in terms of a message that we have to make sure we get right. And there's nothing wrong, of course, with accuracy when it comes to the gospel. We should be accurate. We should understand that it is the good news about Jesus Christ's death and resurrection and what his death accomplished, that he paid the price for the sins of the world. We should be accurate about that. And the way that anybody becomes born again is simply by believing that good news. But the fact of the matter is that the good news continues after we're born again. And that's really the big story in the book of Romans. It's why it's a 16-chapter book. Because from chapter to chapter, we see as we walk through this book, and that's a good way of looking at it, that we're walking through this book together with Jesus as he starts to point out more and more things about just how fantastic his work has, what it has accomplished for us, how fantastic the grace of God is. And how fantastic the fact that when he died, we died. And what that really means. As we go through the book of Romans, these things, we should take them in and allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen us on the inside as we keep on hearing good news, which we need. And we're not the only ones, remember. People around us need to hear the good news too. And so that the idea is that as we study the book of Romans, as we look at the good news that's in that book, it also changes our outlook. Maybe in a small way, maybe in a big way. But when we're really changed on the inside, we become enabled and capable of being people that can bring hope to other people. And that was really what we talked about on Sunday, that this good news is for everybody. Like the angels announced in Bethlehem in Christmas when Jesus was born. We have good news that will be for all the people, for a Savior is born this day. Good news also that covers everything. It covers our entire life, our past, our present, and most wonderfully, our future. It's good news, and this is in the book of Romans too. It covers us spirit, soul, and body. There are things about it, our bodies, that are in the book of Romans that are really hopeful and good news. Things about our spirit, things about our soul. But perhaps best of all is it's good news that wipes out all the bad news. And as you read the book of Romans, as we read it together, you'll see this coming out, this basic heartbeat that it's not like God ignored the bad news. He didn't at all. In fact, when we're done with the introduction, the next part of Romans that we're going to look at, which is from chapter 1, verse 18, all the way to chapter 3, verse 20, is about sin. So clearly, God didn't ignore the bad news about being human. It's in there. You know, but the good news is that Jesus Christ's death on the cross wiped it out for us. And so when we go to that next section, it's with that idea in mind. And that we'll look at that and we'll see that we really need to understand what Paul is driving at when he goes, when he takes us through sort of the history of mankind and takes us through the indictment of the flesh. What's he driving at? You know, and he's driving at getting us all to a point where we understand that there's one thing that stands, which is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and our believing in that. So God knew all about our situation. He knows all about our situation tonight, all about our sinfulness, all about death, all about suffering, all about evil. And he took care of it all, and he did it in his Son. And of course, that's a lot. That's a lot of things to realize that God accomplished in Jesus. And it will take us our lifetime to have those things worked out inside us so that we can become people who really embody that when other people are struggling with these things or when we're struggling with it. When somebody's struggling with their sinfulness, that we really do deep inside have truth and hope from Romans to offer to ourselves and to them. When somebody's struggling with situations of death or suffering or evil in their life, that we really have an answer. And it came out of our understanding of what God revealed in the book of Romans that he accomplished in his son Jesus Christ. And he has also, never forget, and I want to emphasize this tonight, that he has given us the Holy Spirit for this task. We're not left on our own. We have the Holy Spirit inside so that the good news can keep flowing into us and we recognize it as that and it makes us more hopeful and it keeps flowing out of us. That's all work that God the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. And as we'll see tonight, our role in all of that is really faith. And we'll see some more of that this evening. So we wrestled with one question on Sunday, and I'm just going to put it on the board again tonight, and that is your life, given the fact that the book of Romans is about good news, being a Christian is about good news, is your life starting to come across more and more as good news to people around you? It's a challenging question, and it's not meant to condemn anybody, but it is meant to be as a kind of a mirror to say, okay, so let me see what's going on in my life. Let me see where perhaps I need to take a fresh look at what Romans says so that I can correct my heart in certain areas where I have allowed bad news to drag me down so that it doesn't drag me down quite so much anymore. You know, and so we ask the question another way, and that is, are you giving the people that come into your life hope for a brighter future? Because that's what good news does. And is that, do you see that working out in your life? And is it something that's happening more than it used to? Giving people in your life hope for a brighter future. Because that is what Romans is all about. It's an announcement of hope for a brighter future for the entire human race, whosoever will believe. So these questions, of course, it's not to condemn or put us down or discourage us. Actually, it's the opposite. It's to see through the question of hope, that we can open up our hearts to realize what is actually possible for us as God's beloved children. That's the point of it, to say, you know, if I'm honest, you know, I don't really always bring in hope into people's lives. And as a matter of fact, I'm stuck on something that's not only not making them hopeful, it's not making me hopeful either. So I'm being honest right now. I'm gonna just say that's going on. That's good. That's the whole reason for the question. Why? Because now you're open. You're open to something new for yourself, to say, you know, I can receive something else from my Lord when I study Romans this time. It can work in my own heart. And that's really the whole point of it, that we open our hearts to realize what's actually possible for us as God's beloved children. Maybe we forgot. Maybe we never knew it. Maybe we're the ones that have to hear something new that comes out of God's word in order for our hearts to change. So how do we go about doing this? How do we become good news people? That's a question we started on Sunday, and we're going to really focus on tonight. How does this work? When I'm honest, I realize that sometimes I'm miserable. Sometimes I'm not very hopeful. I wish I could be, but I find that I get into a situation that's a bummer, and there's some really tough things going on, and personality problems, or people laying heavy bad news on me, and being honest with myself, that really has an effect on me. So I don't really always get to the point where I'm able to be of service to people. Okay, so how do we become those people? How do we become good news people that God really wants us to be as his children? And really, it gets personal at this point. The answer is by listening again. Listening maybe in a very different way from your way you maybe have approached the scriptures. That you're not going to them to learn necessarily, but you're going with a believing heart to hear from God. To hear things that God wants to say to you. You see, that yes, we can study Romans and we can see what it has to say to the human race. We can see the different arguments. But at a certain point, we have to also say, wait a minute now, it's time for me to open my heart to see what is it saying to me? What is it saying to you? And that's the approach we're taking now as we sort of look at the first introduction as a whole. What is it saying to you? What is it saying to me? Can I listen to it in a different way and believe it and hear something new that will help me to become a more hopeful person too? For example, please look at Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Romans 1, 7. This is where we ended on Sunday. This one verse is a lot of things that God wants to say to you. Let's look at it again. Romans 1:7. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, call the saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is clearly talking to the beloved of God in Rome in the first century. But again, it's also speaking to us. It's also speaking to us individually. You are beloved of God. You have been called as a saint. You are already set apart by God forever to be a member of the body of Christ. Already happened. And what's the first thing when Paul turns from introducing himself and introducing the gospel, and then he turns to his audience, all right? Think of it also maybe as God turning to you. And what's the first thing he wants to hear? Wants you to hear? He wants you to hear, you are beloved. You're beloved of God. You are the ones being loved by God. So tonight, let God speak to you from the book of Romans and say this to you. I've already decided to love you forever. That's what God is saying. Whenever you see that phrase, beloved or beloved of God, it's a reminder. God has already decided to love you forever. Let that sink in. Let that sink in as a first matter. It's right here at the beginning of the book of Romans. And in fact, not just tonight, not just while we're together, but every time you find your soul is beaten down, and you start, as we all do, to wobble in unbelief, as we start to feel the pressure from the world or from our flesh or from Satan, and we do start to wobble in unbelief and we lose our confidence and we lose our hope and our peace, let the word of God speak to you again that God has already decided to love you forever. You know, go to Romans 1 and hear that. Go to Romans 8 and hear that. Let God speak to you in a fresh way. We need that. You know, it's so easy. I'm guilty of this, and I'm sure a lot of people listening are. It's so easy to start to make the Bible a concept so that when we think about Romans 8, the first thing we go through is sort of, I know all the subjects in Romans 8. That's great. It is good to know all the subjects in Romans 8. But you see, when we do that often enough, we start not allowing the Word of God to speak fresh, to say that it's not as if I just need to know it as an idea. It's not as if, as a matter of fact, there are things in there that I need for my heart, for my well-being, right now. And when we have that attitude towards God's Word, it comes across in a very different way sometimes. And whether or not that's happening to you tonight in verse 7, that's really, I'd like it to, because I think these are wonderful things that God is saying to us. But really, to just give yourself a break and allow God's word to minister to you. You know, I think sometimes it's so easy as believers to put all the pressure on us again. To say that, well, boy, I learned this thing, so, you know, now it's all about me going out and doing that. Now it's all about me showing that I understand it, you know. And as a matter of fact, there is a part of that, of course, but there's also a part where we need to be ministered to by God. We need to be comforted by God. We need to let grace pour into us and soothe us and comfort us and calm our spirit and our soul. And we need that a lot. And the way we do it is by letting the Word of God speak and by having the Holy Spirit use that in our hearts to put the needed comfort and protection and strength where we need it. And we need to be doing that a lot. God has already said, I've already decided to love you forever. And he's saying, I did that because it's my glory to do it. It's on the basis of my own glory. So don't be at all concerned about whether or not it's something about you that could change, that could cause me to stop, because it's all for God's glory that he's doing this. And he's also doing it for Jesus, the perfect Son of God, who's at his right hand, so that Jesus would have a company of brothers and sisters constituted in his likeness. And in a real way, all the love, and you can only imagine all the love that God the Father has for Jesus, all of that pouring into Jesus, it's also pouring to you. And that's exactly how God sees it. And we need that. We need to hear that again. We need to receive that again. We need to remember that Jesus said, it is finished on the cross. We need to hear that. We need to hear that in our souls. That's the, when the verse 7 says, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, it's on the basis of the fact that Jesus' work is finished on behalf of the human race. We forget that. We get involved in our own work, our own life, our own problems, the consciousness of things that are in conflict right now, and we forget that as far as the big picture in God's eyes about the human race. It was all finished with Christ. But we need to remember that. We need to tap back into that. And that's why he starts with saying grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And make this more than an idea tonight. Make it that God is speaking to you and saying, I have got more grace for you tonight. I want you to be at peace in your soul again tonight. Let the word speak in that way to you. Because it really is. Paul's saying, this is right from God. I love it. This is right from God. This is right from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is really what's on God's mind about you first. It's on the heart of Jesus about you. As you make sure that you know you're beloved of God, family, and that you know that God's always going to be gracious to you, and that he wants there to be that peace that surpasses understanding in your heart. And it may or may not be there tonight, but don't forget that that's what he wants for you. And rest in that for a while. Romans 1:7, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, call the saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is speaking to you today, and he's the one who's saying this. It's from God our Father. He's saying grace to you. He's the one. If there's ever, a question about, well, I wonder if I'm really on good terms. I wonder if this is going right. I wonder, God is the ultimate judge and king and sovereign. So when he says grace to you, there's nobody who can take that away from him. Paul's going to say this later on. If God's for us, who exactly is against us? Right? We need to be, but here's the thing. Now we can take those kind of statements, right? And we can certainly think them through. And say, well, of course, that makes perfect sense. And then park it away as if we don't need it anymore. But the fact of the matter is that we need that not only as an idea that we agree with, but we need to hear it again. We need to hear again, God is for you. Who could be against you? We need to hear it, and we need to let it soak into our hearts on a daily basis if we can. This is from God. God is speaking to you today. Through Romans 1:7 and God the Holy Spirit, and he's saying, peace is yours. I want you to be at peace on the inside. Remember, for example, Jesus saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. But we need to hear that again and again and again so that we know exactly that. Now, he also said, don't worry, I understand why you may not be at peace tonight. I understand that. He said, I know in this world you'll have trouble. But never forget, I, Jesus, have overcome the world. Never forget that. You see, it's that kind of realization that can calm you again. And if you're not listening, then you may not be calm. But God wants you to be. He wants to restore that peace, like Psalm 23 says. He wants to restore our soul. He'll do it. But he does use his word to do it. He does, through the Holy Spirit mentoring and ministering to our hearts. But he's saying tonight to us, I want you to rest in my son's finished work on your behalf. And I want that as a settled condition in your soul at all times. Now again, he knows that we're going to run into jams, and we're going to do things in our heart, and we're going to wobble in unbelief, and we're going to freak out, and we're going to have things happen to us, and we're going to get bitter, and all those things. He knows all of that. And he's not saying, by the way, if you don't have this all the time, then there's something desperately wrong with us. Okay, that's the legalistic thing. That's not what he's saying. But what he is saying is, no matter what, please understand that I want this for you. That's the idea. I want this for you. So seek it out. Don't be dismayed. Don't think it's not for you. It is for you. Peace is yours. And God the Father is saying that to us tonight. So back to the challenge. Here's the challenge. With all this good news, why is it that you and I are still such miserable people too much of the time? Why is that exactly? You know, it's true. I mean, I'll just take it all on me. I know that I am as changeable as the weather when it comes to this stuff. And I can make myself miserable in a heartbeat in many, many ways. Why is that? Here's why. We get miserable every time we don't mix the promises of God with faith. Actively. actively. The place to get really aggressive in our Christian walk is in our faith. It's in our faith. It's in continuing to believe these things. You know, to be tenacious about it. So the fact of the matter is that you and I, we're probably wimping out a bit when it comes to believing. And because of that, we end up being miserable. Too often, we really don't believe the good news yet. Or at least, we haven't taken, this is the key, we haven't taken our belief in the good news where we need to take it. You see? So that, yeah, we can believe it as an idea, as a fact even. We can say, yeah, I know Jesus died for my sins. I know about grace. We can take it that far. But where we need to take it somewhere else, where we need to really take it is this, to the place where it totally revolutionizes your approach to your daily life. That's where we need to, that's the place where we can still be aggressive with our faith. To really start to take it there. Take it into those places where we know we're miserable too often. Take it in those places where we really find it really, really hard to be hopeful people to others, you see. We've got to take it there. And that requires us being aggressive. What do I mean by that? It requires us saying, you know, I'm in Bible class tonight, and I'm perhaps enjoying Romans 1:7. You know, that it's pretty straightforward right now for me to hear God saying, I've loved you. I love you forever. You know, well, but we've got to take that with us. You see, we've got to take that with us on the job. We've got to take that with us in our family life. Take it with us when we're struggling. Take it with us when we've sinned and we feel like there's a big problem between us and God. We've got to take it there, and we've got to believe it there every bit as much as we believe it here. And when we start to do that, that'll start changing our approach to our daily life so that we can become hopeful people there. Please turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Philippians 4, 4. Let's read this the same way as God speaking to us this evening. Revelation. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. See, that's the thing to take and minister to yourself with. He's right here with us. He's right there with you. When you're in that jam about work, he's there. When you're in that struggle in your family life, he's there. No matter where you go, David one time put it this way. He said, if I make my bed in hell, the Lord is there with me. That's quite a thing to think about. He's here. He's for you. The Lord is near. So therefore, look at this one. Be anxious for nothing. If you want to work out this week, work out on that verse. Work out on that verse. You know that what I say by that? Because people get really aggressive about working out. I'm gonna do the weights for the next 20 minutes. I'm gonna ride my bike and so forth. It's something you get aggressive about. You make it as a planned routine. Some people do. I don't, but you know, some people do. But how about that? How about saying, you know, this week I'm gonna work out on being anxious for nothing. I'm gonna make that my goal in life, to be anxious for nothing. And anytime that anxiety says, well, you know what? My Bible told me, my Lord told me, he gave me an order. He said, don't worry about anything. And I want to exercise that. I just don't want that to be a concept. I want to do it. I want to really do it. I want to see how I can be that. That's believing it enough to really try it, right? Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, so what is he saying? He's saying, now I know full well that you're going to come to the point where you're going to find it hard to actually just do that without something else. What's the something else? But in everything that could otherwise make you worried and anxious, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So you can add that to your workout routine. You know, it's not good just to exercise one muscle. You got to try more than one. So at the same time, you're trying not worrying. When you do see, oh boy, here it comes again. Now you got exercise number two. What? By prayer as supplication. Supplication is for you. You know, that's one of the things that happens with prayer that can be really harmful is when we make it all only about other people. It's wonderful to pray for other people. Am I saying we shouldn't? Of course not. But when we make it all about that, we forget that prayer is also a time for the Lord to minister to us. Prayer is also the time where we've got things that we need help with. We've got things that we've got to get off our chest. We've got worries. And he's saying, go to the Lord and make it be helpful for you so that these things that would otherwise worry you, you instead hand over to God in a very meaningful way, a very clear way, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In Romans 1:7, he said, I want you to have peace. Here in Philippians, he tells us how to do it. Do you see that? And it's by being aggressive about some things, by being anxious for nothing, by in everything, by prayer and supplication, make with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So now we have a way, a practical way, to allow the peace of God to be pouring into our hearts again. Realizing that he doesn't want you worried about things. It's not virtuous to be worried all the time. The Bible says the opposite. The Bible says be anxious for nothing. Believe that. Believe it enough to try it. All right? Believe it enough to try it. And when you're getting weak and the anxiety and the worry and the fear starts to creep in, now what? Time for prayer. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Go to him. You see, so in other words, we can see in the book of Romans that he's for us. And here we say, well, he's for us, so I'm going to go to him and ask him to be for me in a very particular way. The one thing right now that's really driving me crazy, I'm going to go to him about that. And I'm going to ask him to come through for me on that. Because I believe him. I believe in him. And then you will see the what? The peace of God, the subject that we've been looking at, which surpasses all comprehension, will start to protect your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. But then he goes on. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Spend time on these things. Realize that they actually even exist. Because there are a lot of people in the world today that don't think anything is true. Do you know that? They don't think there's such a thing as truth that will stay and never change. There are some people who don't think there's any honor out there or anything right anymore. And then nothing is pure or lovely or of good repute. But you know better because God said that those things are there. Okay, but again, we are to be aggressive about these things. We are to step out in faith and say, I know there are things that are true, and I'm gonna dwell on these things. I'm going to really spend some time having those things on my mind. The good things in life, the true things in life. But the things that are honorable about Jesus or even about people, whatever is right in a situation. No, I don't know whether everyone will agree with you or even carry it out. But it doesn't change the fact that there are some things that are right. There are right things. Dwell on those things. This is how we create hope in our souls. Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, whatever any excellence, anything worthy praise, dwell on these things. See, God is telling us, you have the ability to decide what it is you're going to concentrate on. You have the ability to decide what you're going to believe in. You know? And you can believe in what's true. You really can. You can dwell on those things. You can believe in that there is honorable. And this is what I mean about your life changing. If you're surrounded by circumstances in your daily life where people really are not doing honorable things, it's very easy to get discouraged. It's very easy to get cynical, to get bitter, to get hard, to get depressed. Okay? God is saying that he has the antidote. The fact of the matter is that there are things that are honorable. There are things that are right. There is such a thing as purity. And you can dwell on those things instead. There are things that are lovely, of good repute, of excellence, and worthy of praise. dwell on these things. And then he goes on in verse 9. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. What does he say? Practice these things. You see, this is what I mean about being aggressive in your faith. Things that you've learned in the book of Romans, practice them. Things that you receive from the Word of God, from Paul's writings, practice these things. Practice. I'm going to give you a chance to do one of these in a few minutes in the book of Romans. And so so in other words, there really are things we can do. At the end of the day, is it the Word of God that changes us? Yep. Is it the Holy Spirit that changes us? Yep. But does that mean that we're passive? Nope. Because the Bible tells us not to be. The Bible tells us to be aggressive in our faith. The Bible tells us to dwell on these things that are honorable. The Bible tells us to go in prayer to the Lord whenever we're anxious. The Bible tells us that the things that you receive, when you receive something from God's Word, practice it. That's what he says. And not just in Bible study, but when you really need these things to be real, when you really need something to be true, go to God's Word and get something that's true. When you really need something that's pure, go to God's Word and find the things that are pure. When you really need something that's lovely, just go to God's Word and dwell on something lovely that's in God's Word for you and practice these things. When you need these things to be alive and active for you, go at it with God's Word. Be determined in these things. Exercise faith again and again about these things. Don't be denied. Fight the good fight of what? Faith, the Bible says. You want to fight? Fight the good fight of faith. Fight because you know that something will result from it. Fight to get hope. The hope of whatever is there in the book of Romans or any other passage in the Word of God. Fight to have that hope deep in your own soul, in your own heart. Keep at it. Be persistent. Insist that the Word of God comes alive for you, does its work in you, knowing that you have God the Holy Spirit as your helper who's actively at work on your behalf. Do not stop until you see the power of what is here in Romans being put to work in your life. Don't stop believing until you see the power of what's here in Romans put to work in your life. I hope we get to Romans. Well, it doesn't matter how far, it doesn't matter what's in my notes. Let's go to Romans 5 right now. Because I don't want to miss the opportunity for you to understand what I mean about this. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans 5, 1. Don't stop until you see the power of what is here in Romans being put to work in your life. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. Can you see where once again he's bringing up the very things that we saw at the beginning? He's talking about grace again. He's talking about peace, and he's talking about hope. But he knows about our lives, and he doesn't stop there because he knows the things that can come in the scene that could wreck it all for us. That could cause us not to think that grace is really flowing in our lives. To really cause our soul not to be at peace. He goes on, he says what? And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. That ought to shock you when you read that. Okay? We get used to it, we know it. But really, you should say, wait a minute. Here is God in his word talking to me about things like faith and being justified and perfectly righteous. Talking to me about peace. It talked to me about grace and hope and glory. I just want to stay there. Isn't it? Wouldn't you love to stay there? But he doesn't stay there. He comes right on the scene and he says, and not only this, we exult. And you're thinking he's going to say something else nice, but he doesn't. He says, we exult in our tribulations. Because whether we like it or not, when we leave here tonight and we go back into our life, there will be tribulations. And he knows it. And he wants you to have the antidote to that. He wants you to be able to always find a way back to hope. Always find a way back to grace. Always find a way back to peace. And he's about to give it to us. Notice what he says. Not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. The very things that seemingly cause us not to be at peace. The very things that cause us to question God's grace in our life. The tribulations, those deep, horrible, difficult, fearful things that we all go through. Exalt in that, he said. What? Do you feel the shock with me tonight? I'm supposed to exalt in that? Lord, I'm supposed to exalt when something just happened that put me in a place where I'm questioning my salvation and I'm questioning this whole thing and I think it's never going to get any better. I'm supposed to exalt in that? Yes. How? I'm glad you asked. Not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. The game isn't over when you're at that place of tribulation, in other words. That's what the world wants you to think. That's what the flesh wants you to think. That's what Satan wants you to think. I'm in this place of tribulation, it's over. But God in His Word is saying, it's not over. Just keep reading. He says, knowing that tribulation leads to something in you. You're my children. Do you really think? Would I tell you you're my beloved in chapter 1 and leave you in tribulation in chapter 5? Do you really think God would do that? And he's saying, of course I wouldn't. Hang in there, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. So that this is going to seem a little weird maybe, but there's something to look forward to when everything falls apart. That's what he's saying here. That even in that, the worst things that we wish never were there, there's something more. And the something more is the very thing that he's asking us to do anyway, which is to have faith and have hope, right? To say there's something more. Knowing that, so in other words, you've been to Romans 5 lately, right? And you've let God speak to you and say, remember this? Remember I told you that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance. Hupomone, we studied that. Being able to hang in there under situations of pressure that we otherwise wouldn't be able to. Because our Father said, this game isn't over. Hang in there. Perseverance. Perseverance leads to something marvelous. Proven character. You see, proven character, that's the stuff that allows us to be hopeful people. Proven character, that's the stuff that allows us to bring good news to other people. That allows us to be the saints that are making these robes of righteousness called our good deeds. You see, it's a proven character. God at work in the tribulation. God at work as we're persevering. And we don't seem like anything's happening except, well, another hour has passed and I'm still here, Lord. I mean, sometimes it feels just like that, you know. But having that hope that he's going to come through for us. See, that's different. It brings about proven character. In other words, in this distress of soul, in this tribulation, in this difficulty, as we're just simply continuing to say, but I know my Father's there. I know Jesus is in me. I know the Holy Spirit. I know I can go to God's Word and get consolation. I'm going to hang in there. In the midst of all of that, God the Holy Spirit is at work. And he is taking out of the lessons we learn from tribulation, out of the word of God mixed with our tribulation, out of the things that we realize about life and about ourselves and about other people as we go through difficult circumstances. God the Holy Spirit is not wasting anything. He's weaving those things together into a strand and then into a trunk and into a solid tree of character. Character. And from that tree of character can grow the fruit that will minister to other people. That's what this passage is saying. And perseverance, proving character, and proving character, hope. You want to be a more hopeful person? Then use this. Then the next time you find yourself in tribulation of soul, tribulation where you think things are falling apart, where you're out of control, where you're just discouraged about yourself, where you think this Christian way of life really isn't working anymore. When you're there, go to Romans 5. First of all, be reminded that you've been perfectly righteous in God's eyes. Be reminded that you really are at peace with God, even though your emotions and even though your situation and even though your thoughts right now don't say that. The fact of the matter is God's speaking. Word of God speak, you have peace with God through your Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've also obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God, and not only this, but we exult in that tribulation, the worst things, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. That's what we wanted to get to. That was the question we had tonight. How do we become good news people? How do we become people of hope? And the answer is by living in Romans 5, for instance. by being a Romans 5 kind of person. That when something hits, you don't throw the white flag and say it's over. You may feel that way, but you have something there that's telling you, you know what, this is what Romans 5 was written for, what I'm in right now. And then I know that right now, if I'm all falling apart, the one thing I got to do is just hang in there. Just hang in there. And then I know that from that, things are going to happen, that somehow, while I don't understand this, the Holy Spirit's at work improving my character, improving who I am in Christ, improving my strength, improving my hopefulness, improving my ability to explain the good news to other people, my ability to be the good news to other people. It's going on. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Right back to love. But this time, an active love. See it? This time, what is it saying? It's saying, just remember through all of this, whether you feel it or not, and you're probably not, that as a matter of fact, God the Holy Spirit, a long time ago, started pouring the love of God into your heart, and He's not stopping. See, because as He pours the love of God into your heart, that's what makes these things happen. It's the love of God that allows us to hang in there and persevere when we're in tribulation. It's the love of God that takes us through perseverance and gives us hope. It's the love and the grace of God that's at work. It's the grace of God that teaches us to deny ungodly lust. You know that passage in the book of Titus? The grace of God has appeared, teaching us to deny ungodly lust. You know what that is saying? It is saying when you find yourself in ungodly lust, look for the grace of God. It's the only thing that will rescue you. It's the only thing that will show you the pathway out. It's the grace of God. David one time said, "Lord, your gentleness makes me great. Your gentleness makes me great." When you're in a place of tribulation, there will be a thing of surprise if you hang in there. And the thing of surprise will be a larger dose of the love and the grace of God in your life. So you can sing with the hymn writer that said, "Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery." That's what this is about. To come right back to that. Throughout these things where I'm being tried, and these things that I've got to let the Word of God work in my life again and again, He's going to bring me through all of that, which is why I say this is a walk with Jesus. And sometimes it's not going to be pleasant where the road takes us, but through them all, again and again, you'll come to this point in the road where you look out and you'll say, "My gosh, my understanding of God's love is greater and deeper and wider than I ever understood before." Which is why Paul can write in the book of Ephesians, the length, the depth, the height of the love of God is beyond calculating. But God has desires for that to blossom in your own life. And in places like Romans 5, verses 1 to 5, is where it happens, by taking that tribulation and turning it into hope. All right, that's a good place to close. Father, thank You this evening for allowing us to come to Your Word, have it speak to us, have it speak to our hearts, to understand that You have provided these things for our use and benefit, that You are there in our life at all times, and that Your Word is alive, and that it does speak to our hearts, and that the Holy Spirit is on the scene, and He is doing this work in our lives, and that You've been so gracious to us, Father, to open the window when we most need it, when we're most under pressure, when we're absorbed with our sinfulness, when we're in tribulation about something about our lives or something about us, is when we get to open the window into Your great workings by coming back to a passage like Romans 5, verse 1 to 5. We thank You so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.